exciting and new.
Okay, so my grand hope is that Matt Milestrup, who is the harbor pilot in Pensacola, is laughing. And knowing him, I'm sure that he is. Matt, welcome back to the welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. Matt, are you there? Oh no, did we lose him?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm
okay.
Here, Andrew.
Sorry about that, brother.
And I'm not that stupid. I'll have to tell you.
Well, I mean, you know, we'll allow it. Anyway, I should say this: if you ever see Matt around town, you'll know it's him because you'll think the actor Damian Lewis is visiting Pensacola. He looks like him, he's the right height, and he even talks like him. And I think you've been mistaken for Damian Lewis all around, from Band of Brothers and Life and Billions. And you've been mistaken for him all around the world, right?
I have heard that comparison before, and thank you for the compliment.
No, I mean, yeah, exactly right, exactly right. All right, so the reason I wanted to do this, you and I have been working on trying to get John and me onto a ship to depart or arrive into the port of Pensacola for like 6 months, and we finally managed to make it work a couple of weeks ago. Fantastic experience on the Saudi-flagged Bahri Tabuk, a 50,000-ton cargo ro-ro vessel, a roll-on, roll-off. But let's start with kind of basics for people who may not know, because a lot of people don't know. I did not know. What is a harbor pilot?
Sure. A great question. A harbor pilot is, I am one of 93, maritime professionals around the state of Florida that ensure maritime commerce flows to and from ports safely and protect the waterways. And I'm certified by the state. I also have a federal license, and there's some, you know, different rules on which flag state you have of the vessel it is that you're maneuvering. But by and large, I drive the ships into the port and out of the port. The reason for that is I've taken pretty serious tests to draw a chart from memory. I know where the shoals are, the day's navigation. I know the typical traffic. I know the names of the tugs and everything else that help us moor the ship. So you're a local area expert, and this type of system is replicated across the globe. And that's all for nation states to protect their waterways.
So having a cargo vessel traveling on, you know, the Gulf or the Atlantic or the Pacific, the captain is in charge, and subordinate to him would be, you know, your first officer, the person who's actually steering the ship. You know, there's a handful of crew that he operates under. But when they get close to a place like Pensacola, the key is they want somebody who really, really knows the local conditions, the channel, the markers, the speeds, the wind, the everything, so that you can safely get that very, very expensive vessel and its cargo into and out of the Pensacola safely, right? And that's your job. And that's the job of, as you say, 90-plus other people around the state of Florida and numerous others around the entire United States whose job is to be the guide or the temporary captain in and out of the port, right?
That is absolutely correct. Very well put. And and that's reasonable if you think about it. I mean, these captains will visit, you know, 10, 20 ports around the globe. They can't possibly be experts in all of those. So you are, you kind of work with the captain. You become part of that team on the bridge of the ship to make everything, you know, function safely.
One of the parts of this people might not really think about much is that if you're going to captain, you know, guide, drive the ship in, let's say, from the pass, you know, to the port, or the other way, which is the way we went, well, you're not on the ship all the way through all of its travels, and you're not going to stay on the ship when it leaves. So you've got to get out to the ship to drive it in, and you've got to get from the ship when it's leaving, which requires you traveling on the pilot boat. And the pilot boat is a little tiny, you know, what, 25-foot, something like that, boat that goes alongside. And the interface between the massive 50,000-ton cargo ship and the pilot boat is what I will very euphemistically describe as a rope ladder, where you climb down the steps or climb up the steps, depending on which way. And when we did it, it was in 5 to 6 foot waves with 15 to 20 knot winds underway at, what, 10 or 11 knots. And I will say that's the last most recent time I have felt that my life was maybe in jeopardy. You know, like, it was fun. It was exciting. I did not know what I was getting myself into. I do have a question. Who climbed it better, John Pickens or Andrew McKay?
Well, you both climbed down, so you did have some assistance from gravity. Thankfully, it didn't go too quickly.
We did the easy part.
Say, you know, Andrew, I'm going to have to tell you, John carefully studied every step that you took, and he very much duplicated exactly what you did. So you had the you were the beneficiary going first.
I was the Lewis, and he was my follow Clark. So okay. Were you ever scared for us? Honestly, were you ever scared for us?
No, not really. You know, going down is a little bit easier than going up, but it was not as a hard climb. And you guys are both pretty fit. So anybody seen these guys around town knows that.
Yeah, I'll take that lie. I'll take it. That's fine. All right.
People handling themselves. we do try to shelter you a little bit from all those seas by turning the ship. So you got a little bit of a lee, and anybody that's in the water knows, you know, how to do that. If you try and pick something up, you kind of block the wind with the other side of the vessel.
Newfound respect.
You guys handled it very skillfully. I was pretty impressed.
And newfound respect, not just for like what you do getting on and off, but for the guy who's actually driving the little boat, because that was a. I mean, I don't know how he does it. Anyway, we'll come back to this in just a second because I want to talk about the significance of shipping, all of the constellation of things that surround the possibility of making a place like the Port of Pensacola work as a shipping destination. Matt, you were in training for a while. You basically shadowed with the former harbor pilot, and then you had to take a bunch of tests to prove that you were capable of handling this responsibility of shepherding these ships in and out of the Port of Pensacola. But I want to talk about the relationship between a part of the maritime world that we don't really talk much about, which is, you know, we always think about us as being a military town, right? We're Navy town. We love the Marines, Air Force, you know, Coast Guard, Space Force, Army, all of it. But Merchant Marine is a huge part of global shipping and of naval operations. And in hearing the Congress and the experts talk about things like failing in shipbuilding, failing in merchant marine, failing in training, we seem to be falling behind. But can you maybe just talk for a second about the significance of the merchant marine and even the academy, if you want, to just shipping and transit and transportation and even naval operations?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that's a very broad topic. This might take
sure.
more time than you have for me today, so we can come back again. But, you know, there are a number of maritime academies around this country that train merchant mariners to go out and be the crew on U.S. flagged vessels. And we don't have very many of those vessels anymore, and we don't have very many of those mariners anymore. And that is becoming a national crisis. So you're reliant on foreign flag vessels to bring all your cargo. And whether people acknowledge or not, this is still very much a maritime trading nation. A lot of goods go out and into this country via sea because it's by far and away the most efficient way to carry large, voluminous cargoes in bulk or otherwise. You need these mariners. So that's in addition, of course, to the military service academies that more people are more familiar with, Naval Academy, and maybe in my case, the Coast Guard Academy and Merchant Marine Academy. So that is one aspect of it. Around here, that impacts us because a number of people on the water, actually all the people on the water pretty much, have licenses that are basically adjudicated by the Coast Guard, but they're mariner's licenses, and they go anywhere from a six-pack license to 100 tons, 200 tons, to what I have is an unlimited license. And all the qualifications those vary, different number of tests you have to take and experiences required and everything else. But there's a large portion of the population in Pensacola that relies on the maritime environment.
Absolutely.
And the port's a critical aspect of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things is thinking about how the crew on board this particular vessel, Saudi, Omani, Filipino, no Americans. And that's a problem across the, you know, non-military marine operations is, as you say, we don't have very many American flag vessels. Very few people think of going into the merchant marine. The support vehicles, the, you know, non-military vehicles that go into war fighting, the shipbuilding, kind of like that whole constellation of things. We have like so many other parts of our economy, we have entrusted to somebody else's production. And I think, you know, I'm really optimistic about President Trump, some of his EOs that he's put in that have to do with this. But I just think people, I will speak for me, never thought much about this until I started paying attention. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God. But here locally, there's also a really interesting kind of, you called it an ecosystem on board the ship. But all of the things that have to exist in order to make it possible to have any kind of shipping or large vessel transit, things like tugs and things like longshoremen. And, you know, can you maybe talk about some of the pieces of that puzzle? Because there are a lot of them.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, just real quickly, I mean, even this current administration, you know, this is a pretty strong bipartisan concern. I know that the recent Ships Act was introduced by Senator Kelly. So, yeah, there's a recognition in Congress on all parties that this is a major problem for our country. And back to locally, you know, the port is an economic driver. You know, GE, which is the beneficiary of the products that were brought in by the ship that you rode in and out of, that Bari Tabuk, they put together the wind nacelles that are shipped all over the country. And there's about 2,000 jobs associated with that project between a couple different major companies and some other suppliers and everything else. The multiplier effect from a port is almost three jobs to every job at the port are directly created because there's a port in your area. And then you could talk indirect jobs and everything else. And sort of that's what you're alluding to is sort of the indirect jobs that are related to the port. For example, there are three home-ported Coast Guard ships here in Pensacola right now, and that's about 200, a little over 200 people directly associated with those ships and their families that go to school here, they go shopping here, they live here year-round, and they are home-ported here, and they require the pass, Pensacola Pass, to be dredged by the Army Corps of Engineers. Sometimes they require the use of tugs or a pilot. They don't use longshoremen. They have their own, but the merchant ships will use longshoremen. So these jobs are all related to the fact you have a port. The dredging the pass, which for those who don't know, that means you have a big, basically, suction hose or a scoop that goes and takes all the silt, the built-up sediments and sand and mud and everything else that makes everything more shallow, and take that and scoop it out and move it away so you have a deeper channel. And that's important for obviously cargo vessels, obviously the military vessels, but also for the deep draft sailboats that have big keels, like American Magic. You know, if they're not on their fins, elevated out of the water, that sticks down in the water column 12, 14 feet, whatever that is. The big chartered fishing boats, everything else. So, you know, that is all reliant on a port and cargo traffic. You have to have a certain cargo volume to justify the dredging. That's in limited supply also. So
if we ever didn't have the port operating as it does, would that have cascade impacts on what NAS Pensacola can do, whether the Army Corps feels it's worth dredging and potential loss of mission? I mean, are these connected entities?
They're very much interconnected. So the ecosystem piece of it, you know, you have a coral reef, you take away one aspect of the coral reef and the whole thing goes down and dies. So, or is seriously degraded at best.
And so even I know one of the, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
One of the other pieces, just sort of running out of time. I know you talked about how like tugboats, you know, we have two tugboats in the area. You need both of them. We don't have four. You know, there's not a surplus. And if you don't have tugs, you literally can't do this job. And keeping those in inventory, maintaining the, like, the stevedores, the longshoremen, you know, like, there's so many pieces to this puzzle that makes it work. And I just think it was, again, fascinating to learn. Because we are a low-volume port, you know, it only has one harbor pilot. But that creates a challenge for maintaining this ecosystem that if you lose a piece of it, you could kind of lose the whole thing, so to speak. Matt, we're totally out of time. He is the harbor pilot for the Port of Pensacola, again, retired U.S. Coast Guard captain, and clearly stated that Andrew McKay climbed the ladder better than John Pickens on disembarkation and was essential to John Pickens seeing how to do it properly. I heard you say that, right, Matt? You know what you said?
Andrew, absolutely, almost. And John, thanks for producing this show. You know, what can you do without you?
Hey, thank you for giving us the opportunity to experience what you do. Thank you for doing what you do. Thanks for teaching us and expanding the mission and informing our audience about this. And we'll definitely have you back. And, you know, we'll have the Newport director on. And, you know, we'll talk to some other people, too, because I have a newfound interest in respect for the port operations because you reached out to me and said, hey, can we make this happen? And we did. Matt Malstrup, Harbor Pilot, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.